Hey everyone, this is John.
This is Wes.
And this is Ryan.
And this is the Nintendo Show, episode 129 of the Best Damn Nintendo Podcast on the internet. It's the official show
for
the month of January 2020. So we're going to talk about some news and some gossip, as well as some new releases, and then preview the month of February.
Remember back in the day where this was the only show we did?
I do remember. Yeah. That didn't last long. Like, we switched to a mini show real quick.
Yeah. We just were having too much fun with it.
And then we brought Ryan in for the Super Nintendo podcast, and he stuck around.
Yeah.
Still here. Never moved out.
And that's the history of this podcast. So, we do have some new game announcements to get into.
Just
a handful. Not too many here.
Bring that thing back up.
I watched
some of them.
Man, no foreplay, huh? No banter. You're just getting right to the down to brass tacks.
Is there something you want to talk about?
Not really.
We talk about GameStop a little bit to kick things off.
I don't know.
And our broken economic system.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely a...
I don't really understand. We're going to take the tangent, because I don't understand what happened with it. I just heard something with stocks, and then somebody made a lot of money.
Yeah, as someone that works in the markets, maybe I could quickly explain it. Think about how you would work with stocks and how you would just buy a stock.
Of course. And then you would sell. Let me get my cigar out.
The stock goes up.
Whoa, here comes a monocle.
Yeah, you buy a stock expecting the stock to go up. You sell the stock if it does go up, and then you make some money. That's a really simple principle. There's another way you can go about it where you make money off of a stock going down. I mean, if you can make money from a stock going up, you should be able, in theory, to make money from a stock going down. The way this is accomplished is through your broker, where you basically sell a stock you don't own, and then agree with your broker that over a certain term, usually 30 to 60 days, you will pay them back on the stock that you owe them, right?
So say, it's kind of like stock loan.
Yeah, exactly. So like say them like pick a random stock and say that stock's worth $20 and you think for some reason that's overvalued, right? What you would do is right then and there, you wouldn't sell the stock, but your broker would sell the stock for $20. You would have the $20 in cash and a liability to your broker for one share of that stock, right? So then what would happen the next day, let's say the stock price dips down to $17, right? You could say, okay, with my $20, I'll buy one share back, give it to my broker.
So then we have a net zero share.
And now I have $3. Hmm. So that's the whole idea. That's the simplest general principle. What's going on with GameStop right now is that you have hedge funds managers that have been intentionally aggressively shorting the stock for GameStop because... Let's face it, GameStop is kind of like a Blockbuster. Their days may be numbered. Their model may not be sustainable, certainly because of COVID. It's made it even worse. So they're looking at this and saying, well, yeah, this is probably a good stock to short because we think it's going to continue to go down.
GameStop was great back in the day when I was a kid and couldn't buy these games brand new at $60. I would wait till they go for $10 to use and just snag a copy.
Yeah. Oh, and
which would be sad to see go.
Yeah. And I'm not going to shit on GameStop. And to their credit, GameStop is trying to do other things. They're trying to get into the merchandising game. They're trying to use their store space to sell things that aren't directly associated.
They do the sex trafficking right in the back of the building.
Hey, man. Everybody's
Maybe that's
eat.
Just my GameStop.
But... Oh, is that where the Democrats are doing it out of?
Of course. In the basements that we all have in Florida.
GameStop specifically.
Yeah. So then that's what's going on. And then what it was determined is that there's enough of these small-time individual retail investors, namely on a place called Wall Street Bets on Reddit, which, by the way, like they literally brand themselves 4chan with a keyboard, or 4chan with the Bloomberg terminal. So in the same way that you would not take advice on civics from 4chan's politics thread, consider it equally dangerous to take their advice on financial investments. And I think what they're doing is just being anarchistic. I'm not sticking up for these hedge funds with what they're doing. It is predatory to an extent, but there's two villains. You know, this is, and if you're the SEC, you're probably looking at it like fucking King Solomon and both women over fighting over which half of the baby they get. You know, it's not, there's no right, just answer to this. And it only ends for sadness for the people that work at GameStop. I bet you this expedites their eventual closing.
Yeah, I have my own personal issues and views about the way our financial system in this country is treated. It's basically treating finance as itself, as a commodity. And like, there are people who work at these places. Like, these are people's lives that you're gambling with. Like, they're treating like the financial market like some sort of casino.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. There is no good guy here. There's no like Robin Hood who's like sticking it to the hedge fund managers to make everything better for the rest of us. They're not making things better for everyone. They're getting personal gain out of this. And the only real way to fix it is through the collective power of governance, is to have a government come in and say, like, hey, all of these shenanigans you're doing, we're not going to let you do it anymore because it's not good for anybody but you.
Yeah, yeah. And it's sort of like they're, oh, and by the way, that's why the price is going crazy and going up so much, is because that's what the retail side, these small-time investors,
yeah,
are doing.
Yeah, they're juicing it.
They're buying so much of the stock that all of these short sellers who, again, over time, they have to pay this back. Their calls are coming due. They've hit their 30, 60, 90-day window, and now they have to buy it back. And because they've been juicing the market so much by buying all of this stock, it's gone up. Keep in mind, 6 months ago, this was a $4 stock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
20 days ago, it was a $15 stock.
And that was like up to like $300 or something.
Yes, yesterday it was $350. Today it's like $200.
Hmm.
So if you're that short seller who thought, I'm going to sell this stock for I'm going to sell it at the market right now and buy it back at $4, you're now finding yourself with an exposure of $155.
You know, per share.
Per share.
And if you bought thousands of these things.
And if you're dealing with options, you're buying contracts. Like, one contract is 1,000 shares. Mm. So it kind of increases in magnitude. And the thing that makes this so clearly wrong is just by looking at the numbers, right? The market cap of GameStop would, in a normal environment without the shorting, be about $2 billion. They say that because of the shorting, it had been suppressed to about $1.2 billion. Now that all of this crazy trading has gone on, the market cap of the company is $25 billion. So that's $22 billion manufactured in nothing, just creating a financial bubble within one stock. Again, this only ends in ruin. Mm-hmm. There's no happy ending here, unless maybe a handful of small-time investors are going to make a buck or two, and they will have successfully proven that they can destabilize the market.
Right. Yeah, the
which only, is great. Hey, 2008 again. Ain't that wonderful?
The only way. Yeah, that was fucking great. As, you know, the first wave of us millennials were first entering the job market, everything came fucking crashing down.
Yeah, exactly.
And then now we're sort of getting to the philosophy of economics. But the only way you was like just should be able to create that money out of thin air is if it is done by a federal government to say like, hey, we're going to create this money, because they're just essentially creating like series of digits electronically. They're not actually printing money, but that's the only way this sort of thing should come about. It's like the federal government says like, hey, we need $3 trillion to do a thing. Let's just create that money.
Well, done. And in theory, it would be earning or potential earnings. Like if you were investing in a company that is working on breakthrough medical procedures, right?
Mm.
You know, and you could, in theory, put in some money into that thinking like, well, if this stock hits big, and if they fucking cure a disease for millions of people, this will be an incredibly valuable one. If their research fails and then they don't succeed, okay, that's fine. I can understand the idea of wanting to put some money into it, knowing I wouldn't get something out of it. GameStop is like a known thing. It is a brick-and-mortar store that sells a product that is rapidly moving online. They're trying to keep up by selling Funko Pops or whatever you call
them. All these tchotchkes. And,
yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, I've seen Walmart and Target's gaming areas, and they're bigger and better than GameStop, mm-hmm. honestly. Like, they don't have the secondhand stuff. They don't have the pre-owned stuff that mm-hmm. you might find at a GameStop. But, like, between Cybertron here in Orlando that does all the old-school gaming and all of the secondhand gaming, and between Target, there really isn't a space for GameStop anymore as a company. And I feel bad saying that because they employ probably 100,000 people. They probably have a lot of employees around the United States. So, again, really sucks for them. Hey, it sucks for the dozens of people that work at BlackBerry. You know, right. You're in the same boat. You're finding your stock kind of...
If anyone still works at AMC now.
Right. And you can tell, it is so nerdy. They pick the nerdiest companies, the ones that you would fucking think they would.
Mm-hmm.
The one that you would think the fucking 4chan users would pick. Right?
Like companies that are probably on their way out, like GameStop, BlackBerry, we probably don't have much longer. AMC, we'll see. We'll see if theaters stick around after,
hey, maybe
is over in 3 years.
Maybe Mitt Romney's old company, Bain Capital, can scoop in. Right? Harvest the carcass, as they say.
I mean, John, you're really good at keeping like three people employed with your Netflix account. How do you... You still get disc in the mail, so you're keeping those three people.
Yeah, but that's just like the most basic, simple economics. Like, they have a thing. I'm going to give them money. They're going to give me the thing.
Okay, so that's, we need to give you some money.
You know, they light up like fireworks when they see a disc come back, and I'm sure they just grab the nearest guy. He's like, John did it again. What does he want this time? Go, go, go.
Let's go. Right away.
You know, I actually do have...
look who's talking to.
I have Tenet in my house right now, and I need to watch it. I've had it for a few weeks, and I haven't gotten around to see to actually...
I'll pick a night. I want to watch this.
Okay. We'll make that happen.
Oh my gosh! I almost bought it the other day because it was on sale at like Best Buy. I was gonna do a price match, whatever.
But I've also been loading up my queue for the retro show, because now we do a lot of movie talk about movies that came out 21 years ago, semi chronologically. And I've been loading up my queue with all this, and like eventually someone, like the three people who work there, are gonna notice the pattern. It's like he keeps on getting movies that are exactly 21 years old. What's happening here?
Wait, which one did you get on your
Tenet? Tenet.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Chris Nolan one.
Yeah. I saw that a little while ago. I think we talked about it.
We talked about on air.
Yeah, never mind then. But yeah. Oh, like, yeah, like, there were like five movies that came out in February of 2000.
Five notable movies.
Yeah. Yeah, that I think would be interesting to talk about, so.
Yeah. It'll be a good time.
I mean, there are no Boondock Saints, but.
Yeah, I mean, that's a singular event.
that is a fixed point in time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Doctor, we can't do shit on that.
What is it? What would that be? Is it BS, BC?
Before Boondock Saints?
BSAD.
All right, so...
Okay.
New game announcements. We got four new games that were just announced for Switch. Independent games, mostly. Nothing that's huge or like high production or AAA or anything like that. Sea of Solitude, Director's Cut. That is a game that previously came out on Steam. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago at this point. That one's coming to Switch on March 4th. This one has a really cool tone to it.
When did this come out? I'm sorry, I missed that part.
On Steam?
It came out on Steam how many years ago?
I think 2 or 3 years at this point.
Yeah, because it kept on saying, like, remake or... And I was like, what? I've never even heard of this
thing. Right.
It looks pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I was intrigued.
Yeah, it was the little girl in the boat, and then some sort of sea creature came in, and it looks like... You know, mostly a sort of like an exploration adventure game.
Yeah, like a traverse kind of area. You're just trying to get around.
Kind of like in this flooded city kind of thing. It looks kind of cool. Also, Finding Paradise is out on Switch. That one's coming in spring 2021. If you guys remember this from the trailer, because I completely blanked on it now.
Nah, I'm blanking on it
too.
It's
the one that's got the weird...
It's like 8-bit. They're like, we're going to the moon! And then
there's a chair in space and they're arguing over who gets to use it.
Yeah, this is the sequel to, at least a spiritual sequel. I don't know if it's a direct sequel. To the Moon, which is a sort of like adventure game, mostly narrative-based, but it was like all made in RPG Maker or something. And they made this like super heavy story game with no actual RPG mechanics in RPG Maker. It's kind of an interesting little quirk there. Ender Lilies, Quieter of the Nights, gets best title for this show.
Even better, saying it correctly, Quietus.
Oh, yeah, thank
of
you.
Of the Nights. But yes.
My spell check must have had
issues with that. I'm sure it's stepped in.
Is it Quietus?
That title. Well, at least that's what's on the YouTube thing.
No, maybe that's the typo.
If we can't trust YouTube, who can we trust?
Yes.
That's how I found out about those Democrats in the GameStop basements.
I was about to say, call GameStop.
Yeah.
This one coming out quarter two of this year. This one's also got a cool visual style.
Yeah. It looks very much like Hollow Knight to an extent. It seems like it's got that kind of light and dark contrast and that sort of side-scrolling sort of thing where...
A bit more like a fantasy medieval aesthetic to it.
Seems like you're this little ghost girl and you're controlling the people... I'm guessing what they would normally be is the villains. If I got this game style right here, where you're taking over the bad guys to fight the other bad guys, it seems like you embody them and then you do stuff with their bodies.
Oh, kind of like she's wearing Cappy or something.
Yeah. Actually, very good way to put it. Just like that.
Okay. Is Cappy in the game? That's what we need to know.
She was sporting a sweet hat. I didn't put two and two together.
Okay.
It was red and blue.
Oh shit.
And she had overalls. Oh my god. And she grew a mustache. It was fucking weird.
And then finally, Batora Lost Haven coming to Switch. Don't have a specific release date or window for that one yet. That's a top-down sort of action RPG looking. They kind of look a visual style of like maybe a Diablo, at least in gameplay style, where it's isometric and all the action's taking place.
Oh, yeah. I should really like this game a lot. I don't know if I'll get it, but I probably should.
There are quite a few of these that get announced every month. I don't know, this one, I think like the little intro video was what caught my eye the most. It had like some narrative heavy things, but again, also saw some cool visual flair to it, which, you know, it's the quickest thing to catch the eye. Even though these sort of isometric RPGs are kind of a dime a dozen on Switch. We also got a release date update for a new Pokemon Snap. That one was confirmed for Switch and for April of this year.
Yeah, I can't wait. Yep. I can't. It's a day one purchase. I can't fucking wait.
I'm looking forward to your thoughts on it.
A day one purchase for us three and 10-year NBA veteran Patrick Patterson.
Yes, I forgot. Yeah, that was a joy.
But he plays for the Atlanta Hawks.
Sure does.
Yeah, he said he is a big Pokemon fan cool. and has been playing for years and years.
His favorite Pokemon is Charizard and Snorlax.
Yes, Charizard and Snorlax are his guys, and he is super pumped for Snap, he says.
Very good. We should have him on the show.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, I don't like the Hawks. Hate your team.
I mean, I think that's what the conversation would just delve into. Be like, yeah, by the way, your team sucks.
Yeah, about that. And it's like, but he's like, well, let me show you my entire Hawk team. Here's all six of my. Well, he's actually, by the way, he's played for like eight teams. So he could probably have an entire team of just the avatars of the teams he's played for.
Oh, maybe that's what we do. I mean, that's how we get in touch with them. Like, hey, we made a Pokemon team for you.
Specifically based for on your traveling around and your dealings.
Who's he played for?
That I couldn't tell you.
All right.
Oh. I can look it up.
Google it right now. We're doing this. We're doing this live.
Oh, I'll do the NBA reference and see what's up.
We're going to do this live.
Yeah.
So, Wes, based on your knowledge of Pokemon Snap in general.
Which is quite extensive.
Do you think that this will kind of be limited to the same gameplay style as Pokemon Snap?
Yeah, I think it's pretty much just more Pokemon Snap. I would love to see something where it's a, like, we got those levels when you're in your little cart and you're driving around and doing the traditional Pokemon Snap thing, throwing things at Pokemon to get them to do shit so you take pictures. I would love to see an open world area where you can just go free from and just wander around and find shit. I mean, they can do some cool stuff, like add stealth mechanics to this. You have to sneak up on these things. I mean, there's shit they can do, but I think it's just going to be more traditional Pokemon Snap.
I think that from what they've shown the things that make that would lead you to believe, like, this is a lot
the
of...
The card showed up, you hop in the card, and they went flying. I mean, yeah. It was just off they go.
But I do think that there is going to be a bit more to it, like maybe a couple extra layers of complexity rather than just a visual update and a roster update from Pokemon.
I mean, they'll probably have like a zoom, and they'll have different things to throw at Pokemon, and then
selfies.
Oh yeah, they're probably gonna have some selfies.
I feel like they gotta include some of the conventions of, you know, hey, do you think that they'll actually have like social media in the game? Like maybe there's like an Instagram for Pokemon that you get to post your best pictures to and a thing. I bet you they have some kind of thing like that.
We need to contact GameStop. This is how we save their company. If you get one of those machines in where you can go and print your photos. Like Blockbuster? Yes. Can we do this? Can we get this in?
We're going to make this stock worth.
If you want your Pokemon Snap stickers, you got to go to GameStop.
Quick, get GameStop on the phone.
Yeah.
We're doing this. We're saving the company.
Oh, Reggie Fils-Aimé, formerly of Nintendo, is on the board of directors of GameStop now. We'll get in touch with him.
Really?
Yeah. We talked about this.
He leaves Nintendo for GameStop?
He retired from Nintendo, and then like after about a year or something, he joined the board of directors. He's not like directly involved. He's not like a CEO or anything of the company. But
like, sure, I'll help scuttle this ship.
Right? I think that was the conversation we had when he joined. He's like, what are you doing? Why are you like chaining yourself to this sinking ship?
That's like the NBA actor going to go play for the Hawks.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm so sorry I even said that. That is incorrect. He does not play for the Hawks.
Okay.
Right now he currently plays for the Clippers.
Better.
That's a harder one to come up with a Pokemon. Maybe with Delmise? Because it's kind of like a ship part.
Oh, for the Clippers?
Yeah.
How does that...
Clippers makes you think dolphin. Boat? Like a dolphin.
Oh, is that what that is?
I thought a clipper was like a ship.
I was thinking like pincer. Or something with claws that snipped.
No, I thought...
What's their logo?
It's a big question mark.
Like, what the fuck are we?
You look it up, and it's literally pincer in a basketball jersey.
No, I'm fully on board with it being like Clippers, like you would for hair. Like, I want them to be endorsing.
I don't know.
Running around, playing basketball, running with scissors. I love that.
I never thought about what it actually meant to be a Clipper. You know?
I think, yeah, maybe.
Their mascot is a bird.
No, I don't like
some creepy-looking dude.
All right, what are the other teams? Let's move on from
okay, here. This is not going to be the easiest one. For starters, he played for the Houston Rockets.
Okay.
So we need a Rocket Pokemon.
Right.
I guess you could do Metagross, first thing that pops in my head. He kind of flies around and has that shit.
Maybe.
That's not so bad.
We could just get him a Team Rocket t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. Hell, maybe that's the thing.
Coughing, wheezing, meowth.
Yeah, something like that. I think that's fine. Because I really can't think of a good Pokemon that would really fit that mold. He played for the Sacramento Kings.
Okay.
So anything that would be associated.
Slow King.
There you go.
Yeah, perfect. There King you go. Draw. Done in one. Oh, the Reggies, they're all Kings.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. That's fine. The Toronto Raptors. Do we have a good Raptor-like Pokemon?
Maybe like a Tyrantum or a...
What's their... There's a fossil one. Archaeops.
Archaeops.
I think Archaeops.
That's a raptor bird.
Yeah, that's pretty close. You said Tyrantum. That would be pretty epic, too.
Yeah, more of a T-Rex.
Sure. But,
yeah. Remparados, but that's also
whatever the fuck that thing is, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that thing is.
This one's probably the easiest one. The OKC, Oklahoma City Thunder.
Thundurus,
yeah. Uh-huh. And then he's actually, yeah, and then you have the Clippers. So, there you go. That's actually not that many. I don't know why I thought he had been on eight teams. He's been involved in eight trades. He's just getting traded back and forth.
Getting traded, like, back to the same team?
Yeah. What was he doing in 2013? He played for two teams. Oh, that's probably what he... I don't know. Never mind.
He played for both teams.
I'll get in touch with this guy. I'll message him on Instagram.
See if we can get him on the show.
Send him some nudes and just say, hey, unsolicited dick pic, but can you join our podcast? See,
I feel like that's the kind of shit I would do if I was famous like that. I would just, like, now and then, not often, very rarely, be like, your podcast. I'm going to be a guest star and make this skyrocket.
Find
just,
some sort of sleazy corner of the internet and be like, I'm going to join that podcast.
I'm going to join that podcast for an episode and make them just skyrocket. I mean, that's what happened to fucking Ninja. Some famous guy streamed with him one day, and now people won't shut up about the little prick.
Well, I know another celebrity that's super into Pokemon.
The guy is super annoying. I watched him once. I'm like, why is this guy famous?
He's actually on the show next week.
Oh, shit. Yeah. That's fine. I'll tell him to his face.
But you guys know who Ronda Rousey is?
Yeah.
She's apparently a very, very big fan of Pokemon.
Okay.
She was asked a question a number of years ago, and she was talking about her playthrough of Sun and Moon.
Mm-hmm.
So she's not only into it, she's like keeping up with the game, which is kind of funny.
Yeah. We should make her Pokemon.
I think we gotta stop playing Pokemon now.
Oh, we'll just make her all fighting types.
Yeah,
make her fighting type team.
Oh yeah, that's so easy. That's all she'd ever need.
Mm. So, let's move over to some other news.
Sure.
Nintendo is releasing a new Switch, you guys.
Knew it. Called it.
Is this gossip or gossip?
No,
gossip.
This is real.
Oh,
they're releasing a new Switch.
The Switch Pro?
It is not a Switch Pro, no.
Oh!
It is a... There's a bit of a mislead.
Switch Mini?
A mislead here. Yeah. It's a new color. They're doing
God damn it.
A special edition Mario Switch. It's red and blue. The dock...
I've seen it.
The Switch, the Joy-Con are all red, and then the grip, the dock for the Joy-Con, and then the wrist straps are blue. So there's a lot of red going on here. And it also comes with a case. It's a red case with a blue zipper. So that's the special edition Mario Switch.
All right. So that settles the debate.
Yep.
Well, there. Almost, because next we have...
Another new Switch.
Yeah.
But it's a Monster Hunter Special Edition. And this has some special detailing. Comes with a code for Monster Hunter Rise, special Pro Controller. Both of these, most notably, not Switch Pros.
Oof.
So we continue to be right.
Well, I think you guys have seen the Joy-Cons I have that are for Daemon X Machina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like... I think it's cool. I don't know if these Monster Hunter Rise Switch is going to have any special features, but like, I think like a turbo button should be like a standard feature now for them. I don't know.
I think that it's time for a Joy-Con sort of a new model, like maybe like a pro version of Joy-Con that actually has a bit more grip to it, as well as a better D-pad and perhaps a turbo button as well.
Yeah, maybe like four buttons over here and then a joystick. Right in the middle, and a trigger at the back. Two buttons up
here. It kind of looks like a claw.
Yeah, it looks kind of like a claw. You're really not certain how to hold it. Maybe you're supposed to use your mouth with it as well in some way. I think this is the idea, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think the most, like, biggest alteration I would want out of a Joy-Con revision is a D-pad. Because we were just playing some Contra, and playing with an analog stick... And Contra 3 doesn't feel right playing with the face buttons on the Joy-Con there to use as directionals.
Felt pretty comfortable with the turbo controller.
Okay.
But that says the Turbo controller itself feels very much like the Super Nintendo controller.
Mm.
So,
just a couple other little news tidbits here. eShop games can no longer be priced under $1.99 anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, you got the notes too.
Yeah. Now the one of the tactics that a lot of developers and publishers were using would they would slash the eShop price down to like 10 cents. Or, you know, like a 16 cents or something ridiculous, just to kind of like shoot themselves up the charts. And then when the sale ends, they kind of hover on the charts for, you know, a few days, and people, you know, think like, hey, this game is high up on the bestseller list. It must be pretty good. And they're kind of, I don't know. I don't think it's like the worst practice in the world. But for some reason, Nintendo decided like, yeah, no, nothing below $1.99 anymore. So...
yeah, that's fine. It seems like that's just a high enough price to weed out the riffraff without, you know, really being a hit. Like, $2, who gives a fuck?
Yeah. Nintendo acquired a new game development studio, one they've been working with for quite some time.
Canadian... it's called Konami.
Nope. they should, though, and run all those people out of town. They acquired Next Level Games. They were the developers of Luigi's Mansion 2 and 3, Mario Strikers, Punch-Out for Wii. They've been working with Nintendo kind of in a second-party relationship for quite some time.
I mean, they didn't really do anything outside of Nintendo anyways, right?
No.
Yeah, so might as well.
Well, the sort of scuttlebutt about why this happened was the founders and the owners of the company were at a point where they were ready to move on, so they kind of...
yeah, they sold their GameStop stock way too soon.
the gossip...
they need some money.
The gossip is that they went to Nintendo and said, like, hey, we're either going to go public or you could buy us. And Nintendo's like, okay, we'll just buy the studio. So they did. And it's the first time they've acquired a game development studio since Monolith Soft back in 2007.
We were just talking about them. They did something.
Xenoblade. They're one of my favorites.
Can I bring up something? That this is not related at all to this, but Blizzard acquired a company too recently.
Oh yeah?
They acquired the company that, or I don't know if they acquired them or they just licensed them to do some work for them, but on an unnamed project. But they're the ones that did the Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 remasters.
Hmm.
God, why would they?
They brought them on board to, everyone is speculating, make the Diablo 2 remaster.
Oh, sure. I've been seeing some rumors.
Yeah, so I think it's all but certain that there's going to be some kind of Diablo 2 remaster, and at BlizzCon they're probably...
if they do it, I'll join you. I'll try it out.
Yeah, I love this game. It's a great game. So
you mentioned.
I just hope they don't fuck it up. I hope that they kind of keep the basics and don't deviate too much from certain things, like 25 frames per second.
I'm not worried about that. The Tony Hawk Pro Skater...
they're pretty good. I got it from my nephew. We played it on his Xbox.
It's the same. It's the same core game.
Yeah. Looks a little better.
The menu's different.
A lot better. A little bit better.
Looks a little better. It's got a different menu. Yeah. They added more with it, but the core game is the same controls, same levels, same...
yep.
It's the same shit, so I'm not worried about that kind of thing.
Yeah. So that's that. That's all I had to say.
Unless it put a ton of penis chariots in it, but I think that'd be better.
So we've...
Oh, wait, no. Good point, though. And Dario's got her big titties hanging out. She's the first boss. And she's even got them pierced, too, like with this chain between them. And you could see a really nice look at her ass if you can get her to fight you in the right way. But keep in mind, we're talking about like a grid of like 10 by 10 pixels of a gorgeous butt. So now we're going to see it in gorgeous, like high definition.
Like 4K booty?
Yeah.
I mean, if I had it, I'd flaunt it.
Yeah, I couldn't be more excited.
So... what
couldn't be worse. You're freaking out about the Scott Pilgrim titties the other night.
I know, right?
We're gonna get to Scott Pilgrim.
I think it's a really impressive display of minimalism when we can make such big honkers out of so few pixels.
Are we moving over to Scott Pilgrim right now?
No. It is the show we're talking about at some point.
Yeah.
We'll get to it eventually.
So we've talked a little bit about this sort of acquisition culture when we talked about Microsoft buying up all those studios. I don't like when big companies swallow up larger companies. This one, for three reasons, sits a little bit better with me. One, I host a podcast called The Nintendo Show, so I'm a little bit biased here. Two, Nintendo's not that huge of a company, so I don't fear them becoming 30% of the entertainment industry like some other companies have. And three, they don't do this very often. Like we just mentioned, they don't buy up these studios, and if the... according to the gossip, if the previous owners wanted to hang on to it, then the relationship would have continued as normal. This only happened because it was either buy them or lose that relationship entirely.
Yeah.
So,
and they've already got, it looks like, a proven infrastructure if they can churn out these games. Yeah. And these are all, from the titles I've seen listed here, quality games.
Yep, indeed. So we do have a little bit of bittersweet news. Happy trails to Takeda.
Well, don't say Wes. How do you say that
name? Oh, yeah, Wes, say this name.
Oh, my God. Takeda.
And then the last name?
Oh, Imamura.
Takeda Imamura. Well done.
I like that. Good job.
Well done. Retired from Nintendo. He started there in 1989.
That's a year after I was born.
Okay.
Holy shit.
He designed the vehicles and drivers in F-Zero. He did character designs in Star Fox. He worked as a visual artist and an art director in most games that he worked in.
But none of those have pixels like tits in it, so I'm not that interested. I mean,
well, you know, the Star Fox series.
So is he the one that has Falcon say, like, show me your moves?
Show me your moves.
I don't think that he was the sound director.
No? But he was probably, like, some sort of, like, executive producer status.
Oh, it was his idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. They probably went to him. It was like, what are some of the things that Captain Falcon would say? Like,
show your moves.
And without a word, he just did that. Show me your moves. And then walked away, and that was it.
And then, like, stumble a little bit, and I punched the wall out of frustration because I tripped on something. And like, oh my God, that's another thing.
Yeah, and, like, the people left in the office was like, but what does he say when he punches someone?
And he's like, one thing you must know about him, his knee is more powerful than anything else on his body.
it's just a fact that knees can't break.
They're
indestructible.
Yep.
He was also the art director of the F-Zero X game on N64, as well as Star Fox 64 and Majora's Mask. He became the main director and supervisor for the Star Fox series in general, as well as Steel Diver and Tank Troopers. His most recent credit was on Ubisoft's Battle for Atlas game, where they had, like, the Star Fox add-on content in there, and he was on the sort of Star Fox team supervising that content. So, you know, nothing within the past, God, almost 3 years to his credit. So, you know.
He's an integral guy, though, sounds like.
Yeah, a lot of really important work, especially in the F-Zero and Star Fox series there, so. Sad to see him go, but.
That's very sad.
Good for him for having a long career and being able to retire on his own terms. You guys want to do some gospel or gossip?
Oh, of course.
Here we go. I got three for you.
Oof.
We might as well start with the one that we talked about a little bit earlier. Switch Pro rumors are back.
Ooh. Oh,
do we put any more stock into these?
No.
All right, that's done. We're moving on.
This is not fucking happening.
So one of the ones that tickled me the most was there was a rumor floating around that the Switch Pro would be a Switch and then also come with a dock, but the dock would have, like, some hardware in it so that when you docked it, it gave the console some more horsepower. And no, come on. This is Nintendo we're talking about. That's too silly for even them to have some sort of, like, modular console. That's ridiculous.
It's like they're going back to the N64 RAN expansion.
I was just about to say that.
I'm sure you're thinking, like, was that really a good idea? Should we have done that? Just because we could, doesn't mean we should.
I mean, I needed to get that thing. I got Majora's Mask, but I didn't have the expansion at the time.
Mm.
I had to wait like a week to get the RAM upgrade. I was like, fuck, I want to play this game.
Mm-hmm. Now, this, and then actually, I rerun the clock back to January of 2020. And listen to the show that we posted then, the official show, to the Gospel or Gossip, to see how well our predictions held up. Rumors were going around about the Switch Pro then, too.
Yeah.
And Wes, you weren't on that particular show, but me and Ryan both said Gossip. And that has held up for 365 days. I don't see that changing anytime soon.
I see it changing when they come out with a new system.
and so that's one of the sort of things that's just kind of bubbling up. Is that, well, at this point, do they do a Pro or do they just do a new system? Because
the Switch hasn't been out that long yet.
It's going to be 4 years in March.
Yeah, but when do they normally do it? Like six, right?
Five. Well, so NES to Super Nintendo is five. Super Nintendo N64 is five. Five to GameCube. Five to Wii. Six to Wii U. Four to Switch.
Damn.
Yeah.
You know what's kind of funny is, so I've been playing Hollow Knight again.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been looking up some videos, some playthroughs on YouTube of individual areas, kind of broken down and all the stuff you can do in them. And it's really funny because the guy that I found that does the most thorough job and quickly kind of walking you through the whole area and showing everything off is, he prefaces every single video by saying, okay, guys, I kind of wanted to get back into the Hollow Knight game because I think we're going to get some real big announcements really soon about Silksong. And then I was like, oh, what is he talking about? And I look it up, and his videos are 13 months old. So, he was making these videos thinking, he's like, we're going to get a real big influx into the community here because Silksong's coming out.
And here it comes.
I want to be ready for that.
All right, released
wow,
it any
your
day
your prediction
now.
Is so bad. Off no. by a year and a half.
So many of these like predictions and rumors are wishful thinking and yeah. people just kind of gleaning onto anyone with a Twitter account that is willing to say something with any sort of authority. And the echo chamber just bounces it all around until like everyone's saying like, oh, we know they're going to do a Switch Pro. We know they're going to do it. You don't know and you're wrong because they're not.
Yeah.
Like at this, I say that with such certainty. There is a chance they do some sort of upgraded model. I don't think, based on their pattern of behavior with their consoles, that they will. I think it's very unlikely. Not with a home console, no. They do it with their handhelds, and Nintendo still views the Switch as a console first. No matter how people like to view it, Nintendo views it as a console. I think that it's possible maybe they one day do an upgraded system, but I think
they upgrade the whole system before they fix the fucking Joy-Cons.
Yeah. they don't give a shit about that anymore. They do not give a fuck.
It just feels so weird because it doesn't even feel like the Switch has been here that long. It still feels like a relatively new console to me, and like I don't even feel like we've hit the peak yet of what this console could be. It seems so strange that they would like feel compelled to either even release some pro version of it or move on to the next thing. I know that they need to start planning for that, though. They absolutely need to start planning for what that will be. But I would think we're still a couple of years away.
I laid down the prediction a couple years back that, you know, the next new iteration of hardware, which would be a totally upgraded system, not some pro version, would be holiday season 2022. So we're still, you know, a couple years away from my prediction.
That sounds reasonable, yeah.
But that's kind of like the timeline they work on, is every 5-ish years is a new console. Now, they could try to extend the longevity of a Switch with a Switch Pro model, kind of like a 1.5 version before they release.
God, I hope they don't.
I hope they don't, too, because I don't like that sort of thing. It splits the market, and you never get games that are developed specifically for like the higher specs in mind. You have to play to the lowest common denominator, so it kind of renders it useless. You saw that with the new 3DS. Like there were two exclusive games for new 3DS, a bad version of Xenoblade and like something else.
Well, I don't know how the new systems do it, but I think the PS5, they did this weird thing where, I don't know how this works because I don't know how, blah, blah, blah. But you can, like the new games that came out had a thing that said on the packaging, I can't think of which game specifically, maybe it was Call of Duty or whatever, but it says upgradable to PS5.
So what they're doing there,
so is that like an extra graphics that they can download later on, like a stronger patch for it?
So what they're doing there is they're selling you the PS4 version for the PS5 and then saying there's going to be an upgrade later to basically a patch to make it the next gen version.
Yeah. So I mean, Nintendo could do that.
They could, they won't.
I know.
It is something that could happen.
I say they could do it. I don't want them to.
Now, with all this said,
I think they're more inclined to like make like analog real hats that you put on your console before they do anything to make an actual hardware implementation that changes.
Rubber band Joy-Cons.
Yeah. Like, that's some real fucking stupid.
That's one of the joys of Nintendo, though. I mean, they make these quality, nice games that aren't as high def in graphics is like the PS4
solid,
and everything. But they still look really freaking good for what they are. Yeah. I mean,
and always with
they're 8-bit games. I don't give a fuck.
New like, ideas and new takes for the most part. You know, Mario Party hasn't really evolved all that much.
No.
But
I'm not playing Nintendo games for the fancy graphics. They have it. It does. I think they look great still.
Yeah,
but I'm not playing them for the I'm playing for quality games. They don't need the newest. Do it on the next console. You're fine, Nintendo. Wait.
I think you're right. But with that said, if they release a Switch Pro, I'd buy it because my screen is scratched.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, since this is a portable console, I'm like, do I buy a Switch and just keep it in the closet for when they're not available anymore, in my case, just in case mine dies? Like, I don't... Ooh, because I love it so much. Like, it's...
I think because it is such a popular console, when the successor comes, I don't think it's going to be immediately difficult to find these things.
Yeah.
I think you're still going to have a few years after the Switch has...
Or just make it backwards compatible with those games.
I could see something like that happening.
Let me pop my Switch games in and we're good to go.
Because I really like the form factor and the functionality of Switch. I hope that the Switch 2, the Super Switch, their next, the Super Switch. Not a pro version, but the next iteration of hardware, I would like it to kind of function the same way, maybe with some better Joy-Cons we were talking before. And backwards compatible, sure. I'd be down for that. Backwards compatibility is always good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think we're going gossip.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The Switch pro rumors again.
Yeah.
So... Two other bits here. The official Rabbids, you know, the little bunny things that Ubisoft does, their official Twitter account changed its name from Rabbids Official to Mario Rabbids, which has fueled rumors about a new Mario versus Rabbids game. What do you guys think? Think that's something that could be in the cards?
What did they do again?
They changed their Twitter name from Official Rabbids to Mario Rabbids.
Is there something happening outside of Nintendo itself? Is there someone trying to glom onto their Rabbids property?
Oh, it's Mario versus Rabbids was an Ubisoft game that borrowed the Mario licensing. And just, as far as I know, the official Rabbids channel is run by Ubisoft. That's their thing. That's their property.
So Ubisoft's being bought out by Nintendo.
Nah,
I doubt it. Or they're just hanger-on. They're hangers-on, and they're just trying to glom on to Mario's success.
Could be.
I don't know. There's a lot of ways you could read with this. I mean, was the last game that successful? I feel like it was successful.
Yeah.
Not unreasonable to expect a sequel.
I hate to say it this way, but I think it's successful because moms don't know what it is that they're buying for their kids. They just see Mario and they grab it. Because Target does sales for that thing constantly.
It's
a $60 game that is usually only $20.
Now, I think it had a good amount of success outside the sort of confused.
It's a good game.
It is.
It is a good. It is worth playing. It is good, but you need to understand what you're getting into because it's now Mario.
I love to go on to Metacritic and it's like the New York Times said, "I thought I was buying a Mario game. My child is 10. Really upset."
USA Today in Forbes. Fucking stay in your lane.
Oh my gosh, it happens all the time. Yeah. I feel bad as an employee at Target when, like, some mom comes in and goes, "I like to buy this." I'm like, "Do you know what the game is?" "No, but it's got Mario on it." "Yeah, let me tell you what the game is." "All right, I don't want to buy that." I'm like, "Yeah, good call." Like, your 6-year-old
don't talk about it, though.
Your 6-year-old son's not going to enjoy this.
Okay, yeah, if they're six, yeah.
He's like, that's so funny. Maybe you talk them out of the thing that they really did want. It's like, "I wanted my tactical turn-taking decision.
I want to play XCOM with Mario." I don't know.
I think it's fine if they do another one. I mean, I'm on board.
I would like for them to do another one. It's weird because it's like almost a 4-year-old game at this point. I think like a sequel would have come sooner. I don't know. I'm not really basing that on anything. But this is just a Twitter name change.
You would think this Breath of the Wild sequel would come sooner. I mean,
no. I think that game. When they announced it, this is like a Metroid Prime 4 situation. They announced it super early, and you could tell by like just how much they showed it. They're like, "No, this is a ways off." Metroid Prime 4, they just showed a logo. Breath of the Wild, they showed a cinematic. When they're just showing cinematics, they don't have much.
No.
I think Breath of the Wild 2 could happen this year, though. We'll see. But like this is just a Twitter name change, so I'm going gossip with this one for now.
Yeah, lock of the century. No, I don't. I tend to agree. I think it's just gossip.
It's a great big. Who cares?
Rewinding the clock back to 2020 again, when there was the first rumor of Bioshock coming to Switch, we talked about on that show, me and you, Ryan, and we both said gossip.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, so we were a little bit wrong on that one, but...
Did we expand on that thought at all, or was it just...
We had the caveat, because there was only the one rumor at the time. Oh, okay. We said gossip, but let's see if Eurogamer picks up on this, which I think they did.
Yeah. Well, because if that's that means like literally 5 months later they were dropping that and then a whole slew of other games.
Yeah, yeah. So. One last one. Another rumored game. Pokemon Diamond and Pearl Remake. The rumor is it's being remade for Switch and there's a reveal coming in February. What do you guys think? Do you think there'd be any truth to this?
This one I'm already kind of in on. Not because I have inside intel, but just because of what I've seen, what everyone seems to think that the thing is about it. Which is that they triggered a domain that leads to a 404, like not a denial of service, but like there's no data on this page on the website where it's like diamondandpearl.pokemon.com, and that's it. There is like, I mean, unless you have something else, I have literally heard that is the only thing I've heard is that they maybe triggered a website on the official Pokemon website that links to Diamond and Pearl.
I mean, unless they
which is so thin.
If it's a full-blown remake, they need to do some work on it to port a remake a DS game onto the fucking Switch.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I mean, if they're going to put it on the Switch, I mean, just port it. And but if they're going to remake it, you got to do some heavy lifting on that to make it worth it to be on a Switch.
I think that's where it kind of stands as really, really important in changing the way that the game plays and kind of modernizing the mechanics of the game. But it's also the absolute worst generation in the entire game.
Yeah.
And it's not one that there's like this clamoring fan base for. I mean, but it all it does also make sense. Like we've had a Fire Red, Leaf Green, what is it? Heart Gold, Soul Silver, and then we had Oris. So yeah, I mean, it's almost like they are obliged to do this. And this is something that's been speculated on for years.
Just
like as soon as they announce Oris, they're like, oh, that means we're getting fucking Diamond and Pearl.
Yeah, because there used to be this rhythm, and it's kind of fallen apart in the past several years, but it used to be like new entry, remake, and that was kind of the pattern they were going with for, you know, a good 6-7 years.
And also, what if this follows the Let's Go model? Like, maybe. What if they just rebuild, did they just use their Let's Go builder, and then they're just like, okay, we'll just make a fucking shot-for-shot remake of that, and we'll make the fun catching mechanic that we had, but it's not going to be like that would just piss everybody off. I think, but
I'd be pissed.
You know,
I think if this was a route they were going with, they would just kind of do the tools that they were making for Sword Shield, remake Diamond Pearl in the vein of Sword Shield. Might not see anything like a wild area unless you, like go to Safari Zone or Dynamax or that sort of thing. Yeah, it would be nice to see that game. It would be nice to see that game updated without like the 8 fucking HMs that you need to actually explore the whole world.
Yeah, I really need defog.
Right.
Yeah.
God damn. God, when we rail on that every time we bring up this generation, the route is blocked by Psyducks, and you need an item to move them that you don't get until later. And then once you move them, then you need an HM to actually proceed through that route. Why is it double locked?
What's behind that route?
It's a path up to another town with a gym. But I think it's got one of like the most intricate geographies of a Pokemon game, which, you know, you can take that as a con or a pro, depending on your preference.
Isn't it like just a big circle?
No, that's Gen 5.
Yeah, Gen 5.
I'm trying to remember the geography of Gen 4.
Gen 4, I
remember going...
That's the one
it's
with...
like a fucking circle.
You're like drawing in the air. No one can see you doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know.
No, Gen 4 is the one with the big mountain range that divides it down the middle, but then there's also like...
Yeah, you have to go up the left side of the mountain, and then you cross over the mountain, and then you go down the mountain, and then you go to the right, and then you go up, and that takes you there. So you're just going around it.
No, it's more intricate than that, because then there's also towns back on the west side of the map that you have to go back to. But neither here nor there. The answer to this is gospel. This is absolutely happening. You I'm think? Coming down on the side that yes, there is going to be a remake, and we're going to be talking about this game in November.
But what do you mean you say it's a remake?
Reveal's coming in February.
The reveal's coming in February, yes. And then they'll release it in November.
Okay.
But what do you mean when you say that?
They're going to remake the game in the style of Sword Shield.
Oh, are you thinking, really, in the style of Sword and Shield?
Yeah.
Wow, he's going big.
Oh, all right.
I don't think they're going to do Let's Go.
You know what I want to see? And this will never fucking happen, because Nintendo can make way much more money not doing this. Just get all of them, put them in one game, and just give me them all. Give me a Pokemon collection.
That'd be kind of cool.
Just give me a goddamn Pokemon collection. Yeah, it's a big fucking circle with a mountain range in the middle.
I'm going to remind you to play the game. You don't travel in a circle.
You go up, you go to the left, and you go up, and then you go around like this.
What you're doing is describing a square. That's the actual map right there. That's just a little part of it.
That's a little part of it. Oh, okay. So, okay.
There are more than 5 towns in the game.
Yeah, okay. I was confused. Yeah, again, you go up and...
I'm
trying to remember this. It's been fucking years since I played this game.
You don't go in a circle. I'm giving you the facts. What you do with it is your business now. Was it like I think that there's an intricacy.
Okay, that's fine. So you're going to come in saying gospel on it. I'm going to come in saying I'm disappointed. I'm not inclined to think any one way about it, other than that like people have been predicting this for years and years, and they've been wrong every time that they've said it.
Sure.
I enjoyed Diamond. It's just a matter of the system couldn't even, keep up with it. The system couldn't keep up with Diamond.
In the same way, it's a circle, you enjoyed it.
Matt, no, you didn't.
Sorry,
so let's continue the rally against Gen 4. And, you know, I Gen 4 is definitely...
I think it's fine.
I think it's also fine. It's on the lower end. If I were to rank the Pokemon games, it would be on the lower end for me as well. However, one of the things that... It's still a Pokemon game. I still had a lot of fun with it. One of the things I didn't like is they do this thing where, like, you have 150 Pokemon until you get to the end and expands the National Dex. But here's your pool of 150.
And a good chunk of it's older Pokemon.
And half of them are older Pokemon. And I don't mind that they have, like, half older Pokemon in there. But it's the ones you see in every game. It's Geodude. It's Zubat. Machamp. Abra. Like, come on. Like, we've seen these guys very prominently in three of the last four generations.
But you got Roserade added. Skuntank was added.
Garchomp
was added. Oh, god damn, Lucario.
Is it Togekiss?
Shogun? Yes, you get to... Well, once it expands to the national decks, yeah.
Toxicroak. Drapion. You got some good shit in that gen.
It's a good gen for poison types.
It is a good gen for poison. I made an all poison team for that gen. That was a good team.
All right, so I'm going gospel. Ryan's going gossip.
I'm going hopeful.
No, you got to pick a side here.
Why can't I go in the middle?
No.
Yeah, but like, what do you have to lead you on this aside from the name change of the website?
Wishful thinking.
Oh, that's what you're going to do.
I'm going with gossip just because I don't think we're going to get a reveal in February.
Okay. I wonder what they would reveal. I mean, again, though, if not this, then what? Like, what's on the horizon in the big, broad strokes of this game? Because they just had these two expansions. Like, I don't know if there's more.
Yeah, they don't have DS shit to rely on anymore.
Yeah, and you know, to an extent, Pokemon has become an annualized series. They always have some sort of release every year. Last year was an exception where they just expanded on Sword Shield. Maybe they let the series lie fallow a little bit, but I don't know. Maybe they continue to expand Sword and Shield. We'll see.
Nah, I'm
Sword and Shield's done.
Yeah, you think so?
I think that's done. I think we're not going to get a new Pokemon game to the next console.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
that's a hot take.
Yeah.
I like it.
Like a new one. Like remakes.
Like a gen. Sure. Like a new gen.
We'll get that.
Like a new gen?
We're not going to get a new gen to the next console.
Different weaponry?
They never do Chainsaw two new gen same console.
You know?
Hang on. Oh, the DS had Gen 4 and 5. 3DS had Gen 6 and 7.
I'm drunk. Those are handhelds.
Game Boy had Gen 1 and 2. There has been one system that has had one gen on it.
All right.
We'll edit this out.
Actually. Well, this is a dumbass.
Let's talk about some...
All right, then I take this back. We're definitely seeing a new one this week.
But is it Diamond Pearl remake?
Oh, no, it's a brand new gen. We're doing this shit. They do two per console. Let's do this shit.
All right.
You got 2 years left, Nintendo. Give me a new one.
What'll be hilarious is that I'm sure when they do the big reveal, they're going to like... They're going to be like, and now we're going to bring out Garchomp to announce the new game. And he's going to be like, it's Gen 5, everybody. And they just shoot it right there.
I would love a Gen 5 remake. I fucking love Gen 5.
They shoot the Garchomp?
Like, yeah,
might as well. Right between the eyes.
His wife and kids are in the audience.
Oh, God.
It's me.
Oh, shit.
New releases?
Okay.
New releases. We got a few new releases to talk about here. First up, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World came out on the Switch on the 14th. We've all played it. What'd you guys think?
It's a game. They did it.
Yeah, it's a fun little brawler with nice retro graphics, very colorful looking game.
Very great on motion.
Yeah.
Especially in the vertical, up and down.
Yeah.
They did a great job with that.
Things move all over the place.
Yeah.
In varying directions in different ways. Fantastic physics engine.
Yep. You really can understand gravity.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's very perky.
Very perky, yes. Yeah. Firm.
Yes, firm. But not too firm.
Right. Yeah. Clearly natural. We're obviously talking about the well-animated breasts.
So. She's just sitting there, just bouncing up and down.
Oh, wait, she's not the only one.
They're kind of out and about.
It's like slapping them in the face, too. Like, it's aggressively going up and down.
Oh, and he's having a great time. He loves every minute of it.
Yeah, that one dude standing next to him is just like, yeah.
Maybe the town folk have respiratory issues. That they have to, breathe so heavily to create that kind of action on the breasts.
It's got that thin Canadian air.
Yeah, must be.
It must be the thin Canadian air.
No, but like, yeah, this is a fun little brawler. Very cool. The music's really good. Combat's fun.
I really love the music.
Yeah. And how old is this game?
10 years.
I have it on my PS3.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it came out on PS3 about 10 years ago, and then it got delisted for some reason. But now it is back.
It was the pixelated boobs. It was too graphic.
And we weren't ready for it yet.
Not yet. No.
But it is interesting, because this game came out kind of before this sort of revival of the brawler as a genre. Because 10 years ago, we weren't really talking about these brawler games, certainly not as often as we do now. Now we're getting, like, one or two bangers every year, like really, really good ones.
Yeah.
And it is interesting, like, that this sort of revival of the brawler genre kind of starts with this game that's not mimicking something like Final Fight or Streets of Rage. It's drawing very heavy influence from River City Ransom, which is a game series that I hadn't really engaged in previous to, like, River City Girls. I bought, like, one on the 3DS, River City Nights or something. It was very medieval themed, but I didn't get into it, and it wasn't until Way Forward.
That's also a very old series, kind of like Double Dragon.
Yeah.
You know, or like the Ninja Turtle games and stuff like that.
Yeah, the Double Dragon series and the River City series are very like a kindred series. They drew a lot of inspiration from each other. And I think Double Dragon might have spun off from it.
But again,
I'm not super familiar with the history of that franchise. But the sort
but
of
yeah, like, it's like really blocky guys where like their arm, when they extend for a punch, is like half their body mass.
Yeah.
You know?
Yours isn't.
Not really, maybe like a third. You're really getting self-conscious about this.
So a lot of like the principal mechanics of River City are also in Scott Pilgrim, that and that, you know, you level up, and as you level up, you're gaining new mechanics. Dash attacks, slide attacks, crouching attacks. Like when you start the game, you are severely underpowered. And you saw this in River City Girls as well, where it just takes a lot of output to KO any particular enemy. And as you progress in the game, it gets easier in the River City series.
Because like especially when you start getting the money to buy stuff to improve your stats in the game, you become so much stronger.
All right, and
you buy new moves too. So
yeah, in River City specifically, from what I've played in it, you're buying new moves, but your sort of stat gains are through your level up. Now Scott Pilgrim takes a different approach in where you're only gaining stats by the things that you buy. So if you're playing the game and not really like opening up the menu and looking, okay, I leveled up, what changed? Okay, nothing changed. If you're just kind of like moving forward in the game without really keeping up with any of that sort of thing, it's going to be very difficult from start to finish.
So this is a pay-to-win game.
Right, but all the money is in-game. Like you're not like giving any of your own money.
Oh, where's my money even going then?
Well, because you have to buy HMs. If you buy HMs, you can perform the moves that get you into the next area.
Yeah, you can move the ducks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So if you like wander into any shop, like it's not going to tell you like, hey, these tacos are going to give you this particular stat buff, and it's also not going to tell you those stat buffs are permanent. So you might buy like some fries that will give you +5 to your HP, and think that okay, that's going to be a temporary thing, but it's actually like all of these things that you're buying are permanent, and your stats are going to max out at 100. So you have your attack, your defense, and your speed, and you can also increase your basically your HP and your mana for your special moves, and also like kind of like your secondary life tank, because when you die, when you're playing single player, you just like revive yourself, and it kind of splits your mana in half and gives half of it to your HP and half of it stays in your mana. But yeah, once you kind of figure out like the way to progress in the game is by improving your stats, it does turn into a little bit of a money grind, because when you beat up enemies, you're gaining like 25 cents Canadian, so you know like 5 cents, yeah. And then there are like a specific hidden shop that you can go to, and it will be like this item that you buy will give you 50 plus 50 to your attack, so half of your maximum attack, and it'll cost you like 120 bucks Canadian, so like $8.
yeah, a kiss on the lips and a firm handshake.
But
they say sorry before they say thank you?
I think it's pronounced sorry, but...
Sorry.
It is pronounced sorry.
Oi.
That's not right.
It's not right at all.
What am I doing?
That's clearly Cajun. All
right. What am I doing? Oh, God.
So... Yeah, so once you like figure out how to engage with like the sort of level up system, it becomes more of a standard brawler. Like the difficulty really evens out, and you know it's no picnic by the time you get to the end of the game. But you are outputting a lot more damage than you do to start. Thumbs up in general, Scott Pilgrim. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I may pick it up eventually.
Cool.
Just because I mean, just in case I take it off the eShop here, then I have two consoles with it on.
Because it goes away.
Really banking some money.
Okay. Let's move over to some other new release games. There was one came out same day as Scott Pilgrim called Down in Bermuda. I did not get this one, but it's an interesting looking like puzzle game. Kind of has like a Goose Game sort of art style to it, where it's like minimalistic but also like colorful and whimsical. And it's like it's a puzzle game, I guess maybe sort of in the vein of Goose Game, where just kind of like solving these simple logic puzzles in order to move over to the next area.
I still want to play that game. Goose game.
It's cool.
I would like to play that.
I think, like, Down in Bermuda, I stuck it on the wish list, and I very nearly bought it because it's, like, 60% off when it first came out? It was down from, like, $20 down to $7. So I was like, well, do I just go ahead and pull the trigger now?
Yeah, for $7, who cares?
However, I didn't do it. And then, like, the day after, because now Nintendo will list on the eShop, sale ends in this many days. I let that expire. And then I went on the eShop today. It's on sale again. So, no, I'm not in such a rush to buy this game. I feel like it might be perpetually on sale.
By the way, what's your favorite? Dead Cells is on sale right now. I think it's half off.
Because I think there's an update coming.
Really?
Do I own it on Switch?
Of course you do.
I think it is on the Switch that I own it.
You do?
Yeah.
I already have that.
No, I remember you hating, or you describing how you hated the game.
God, it's just...
No, you love that game.
I hit a point where I just didn't care anymore. Like, yeah. It's just... Like, it's not Hades. Like, you're just doing this over and over again for no apparent fucking reason.
Oof. I know a game like that.
I mean, isn't that every game?
Oh, motherfucker.
isn't this every game? Like, we're not accomplishing anything here. We are whiling away our finite time on this planet.
For joy.
Playing and games and talking about them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what else am I going to do with my time?
That's fair. I guess I could love my children.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
You should probably just get that into play video games so they don't bother you playing video games.
I'm trying.
I'm starting to think that your children actually love me more than you.
They might. Yeah, I'm fine with it.
I came here and sat down on the couch to watch you play Final Fantasy, and Mika came out, Betty came, gave me a hug, went right back to bed.
Sneaking out to get a quick hug, like yeah. Creep. And...
Yeah, she had to give me a hug.
But I'm trying to get them to play some games. They were playing some Kirby together the other day. They like Kirby Star Allies. But I bought that Atelier Ryza game, Atelier Ryza 2. That one came out on the 26th.
Yes.
I bought it, and Mika was playing with me. Because I thought it was going to be like a pretty rudimentary RPG. And to an extent, it is. But the battle system does have some complexity to it that I'm not quite sure that she understands RPG battles quite yet. She did enjoy kind of running around the town in like the open fields, because it's also very much like a maybe a loot grinder. It does have some dungeon crawly elements to it too, because as of right now in the game, I have no way to heal while I'm out in the field exploring around. I don't have any consumable potions or anything, so when the party runs low on HP, I gotta retreat back to base. But she had a good time running around, just kind of like going to little loot spots throughout the world and gathering grass and flowers and rocks and stuff. She didn't want to play any of the battles because she thought all the monsters were cute. So she was like, don't kill it. It's cute.
Aww.
So one time like a sheep ran up at me. He's like, well, we got to deal with this sheep. It came at us. We gotta show this sheep that we're not to be fucked with.
Lame is delicious.
Yeah, and she was a little bit bummed about that.
Yeah.
Next time you hand her a cheeseburger, you should also hand her a picture of a cow. Like, this is where this came from.
Oh, she's aware.
Oh, she's aware?
Like, so she knows that she's eating, like, cows and chickens. She's comfortable with that.
Next time you get her some lamb and hand her the lamb. Be like, no, this sheep came right at us.
I wouldn't eat lamb. I'm not judging anyone who does, but it's just not for me.
Tell them their name. Make up a name for it.
This is Bessie the cow.
Yeah. You're eating Bessie.
She actually had a in quotes pet chicken.
Did you eat it?
No. My mother-in-law, Des's mom, had a chicken coop. Doesn't have it anymore, but there was a chicken there that would allow Mika to pick it up. And it was the only chicken that would allow Mika to do that. So Mika really liked that chicken, and its name was Angie, and then it was killed by some neighbor dogs.
Oh, shit!
Yeah, and she was pretty bummed about that.
Oh, my God!
Yeah. So she doesn't like fighting in the RPGs, which, you know, she's going to have to learn.
Yeah, maybe she's more
has to learn.
Maybe she's more like a walking simulator type.
Maybe.
She'll find her lane.
If she's going to play some Pokemon one day, she's going to need to learn that sometimes you got to beat up the cute ones.
Yeah.
You got to do it. Of course, in Pokemon, you don't like, kill them. They just faint.
What are we teaching you leave these them children?
What are we teaching these children? You have to beat up the cute ones sometimes.
I mean, we did it. We're not that bad off. I'm not that bad off. So yeah, this
dead in the wild. God damn it, John.
This Atelier game. It is very cute and like
looks adorable.
Yeah, like a bubblegum pop art style to it. Yeah, yeah. It's obnoxiously cute at times. I'll see if she gets.
She even looks like Yuna from Final Fantasy X.
Oh, yeah,
but
she
like, if she dressed like Tidus.
Is Yuna doing a Tidus cosplay?
Kinda.
God, she's cosplaying as Yuna doing Tidus. That's funny.
So the battle system, just real quick, it is an active time bar system, but there's also some action elements to it. So if you like just pick your basic attack and then you spam your attack button, you'll kind of hit the enemy multiple times with your stick.
So it's kind of like Final Fantasy VII.
More like Final Fantasy VIII. Where, you know, if like when you have the gunblade, if you're like...
sure, if the game developers, it's more like Atli or Reza 2 is what it's like. You guys shut the fuck up and talk about my game. We're not final... Hey, who made this game?
Tecmo Koei.
Yeah, there you go.
So they're listening.
They're here, yeah.
Yeah.
They're in the room.
The development studio is called Gust, but Tecmo Koei published in Gust is a...
Like a Pokemon move.
Well, just like a Pokemon move, yeah.
Oh, so now the game's like Pokemon.
Yeah.
Are you catching people to fight on your team?
It's licensed by Sky Attack.
You do have a... You do have a team, but your team is auto-battling. They'll just kind of hit with some basic attacks.
So it's like Final Fantasy 13.
But you can swap between team members, so you can use their different skills if you want. But
now it's back like 7.
For fuck's sake. In 7, you have direct control over everybody. So what you're doing is you're spamming your basic attacks, and you're building up your mana to do your special attacks. When you do your special attack, like if you bank enough of your mana, you can pull off multiple special attacks at once. And if you are doing the correct special attacks when your party members are telling you to, then they will come in with a chain attack and you build attacks that way and start building up your crits and stuff. So, you know, there's a decent amount of layers to
So it's like that Encore game. What is it called?
Would you stop making fucking comparisons?
F.E. Right?
What?
Sharp? Is that the thing where you do the right things and then everybody just like...
Tokyo Mirage Sessions?
Yeah.
I mean, sort of, but now you're having to exploit enemy weaknesses. This is just spamming attacks. So, you know...
And looking cute doing it.
Is there any combos you gotta do? Yet, like a brick topple?
No.
Launch?
I like that it's probably like the 20 inputs you have to make to kill a sheep. You know? And I hope it just like fucking obliterates the sheep. I hope there's not a usable part of flesh.
It's just his wool.
And then there's an Indian in the corner just crying.
Native American.
I don't know if that's the preferred nomenclature.
Yeah, I think I need to say Native American. I
think you need to say American Indian.
I think you do. I think
Native American is also.
Oh, that's not right. Yeah, that's like God. Why am I a monster, guys?
This game does not take place in America.
Where is it set?
It's some fantasy world.
No.
Let's call it.
But at least they have British accents, right?
The voice is all in Japanese.
Can you edit out my ignorance?
No.
It's all on display. What do you feel worse about being ignorant about? Which consoles released the Pokemon games? Or this right now?
It's not a good night for me, guys. I don't know what's wrong with me, dude. I'd like to apologize to anybody I may have offended.
Including every American Indian?
That's not right.
All of them but the Creeks. They had it coming. The nicest ones too.
broken, John. I haven't seen a breakdown like that in a minute.
I'm not okay with any of this.
Oh my god.
I'm not okay with it.
Hand, face and hands just weeping.
So, I mentioned the complexity of this battle system. Like, there's some layers to it, but it's not super complex. Some battles just kind of spam the attack button and spam the specials when I built up the meter, and they just happen to do follow-up attacks. So he doesn't seem to take a whole lot of skill to win a battle. We'll see how this game progresses. We'll see if Mika wants to keep playing, and I'll report back. I don't know. And then finally, Cyber Shadow came out on the Switch on the same day as Atelier Ryza on the 26th. I've been playing this one. About halfway through, it is a 2D side-scrolling sort of pixel art action side-scrolling game, a lot in the vein of something like a Ninja Gaiden or The Messenger more recently.
Oh, so you can compare it to shit.
Yeah, because those are the only comparisons I'm going to make. I'm not going to say another sentence and then compare it to something else, although now I might.
By the way, today's the 28th.
It is.
You got like 3 games in the past 2 days and played them all?
Scott Pilgrim came out like...
It's like 2 days ago. I'm fucking with you. But yeah, you got both these games off?
Yeah, 2 games and you're already beat them.
Yeah, I was off today, I was off yesterday. I've not already beaten them. I've me and Mika put 2 hours into Atelier Ryza over the past 2 days. And Cyber Shadow I've put a good like 4 hours into.
Nice.
So I played for a couple hours each day. There's a little progress tracker with all like the collectibles and stuff. So I'm about like 50-55%. The way through 100% of the game anyway. And it is...
That seems like a short game.
So is everybody robots?
As far as I'm aware, most people are robots or sort of like reincarnations of people in robot bodies.
And you have what appears to literally be the Maltese Falcon here. Like that's totally the statue of the Maltese Falcon.
Okay, so those are power-up stations.
Yeah.
So you're progressing through the game. It's kind of like a light Metroid. You do get like power-ups and new skills as you go through, and you can backtrack to older levels, but it's not like this sort of like interconnected web like you think of them as a Metroid. It's much more like here's level 1, then you move to level 2, and then you go to level 3. It's linear like that.
Okay.
But like I mentioned, you can get your new power-ups, backtrack, and maybe find some more collectibles, health expansions, mana expansions, that kind of thing. And what those little falcon dudes do is they give you some of the power-up skills that you get. Like the first one you get is just the ability to slide on and jump off of walls. So you get some more basic locomotion. Another one that you get is just like a dash, so you can run faster at certain points when we need to like cross a bigger gap. So when you start off at the game... like you would think in any sort of Metroid-style game, you're very underpowered. It takes quite a bit. And the game difficulty does a good job of ramping up as you get more powers, so you never feel like you're overpowered, but you always feel like you're making progress. You feel like you're a better character as you're going through the game than you were in previous levels. Some of the platforming challenges can be pretty tough, but I don't think it ever hits the point where it feels like it's unfair. The checkpoints aren't quite as generous as they were in something like The Messenger, to keep that comparison going and not change games. Wes. But there have been points where I had to take a break because I kind of beat my head against a particular challenge for, you know, like 5 or 6 rounds, but then you get like thrown back to a checkpoint where you have to retraverse some stuff you've already mastered in order to get to the hard part again. So, you know, it's a tough balancing act, and I think they do a pretty decent job of giving you enough checkpoints to feel fair. The checkpoints also have this interesting function to, you know, in addition to your like your HP drops and your mana drops, you also have this currency. And the currency so far hasn't really been for anything except to sort of expand your checkpoints. And that's not to say you get new ones, but what you do is like when you hit a checkpoint, it can say like, okay, there's the spot. Some checkpoints will automatically refill your health, and then other checkpoints you'll have to sort of buy in to unlock that feature. It'll still save your progress at that point, but if you want your HP to be refilled, you'll have to give it 50 money, and then it's persistent. Anytime you die, you go back to that checkpoint at full health, whereas if you didn't unlock that, you'd go back there with like four or five health, which is kind of like your base amount that you start with in the game. Mm. And you can also unlock other things at those checkpoints. Like if you want all your mana to be refilled at a checkpoint, you can unlock that as well. And then some checkpoints will have like weapon expansions, like just like an extension to your sword, so you have further reach. And you can unlock that at a checkpoint. And those sort of temporary...
But permanently or only for that level?
Only until you take three hits. Oh. And then they go away. So there's like a sword extension. There's a shield. And the shields, it'll like absorb a hit and then fade. But then after... There's a cooldown. After it's cooled down, it'll pop back up and take another hit for you. And as long as you're not taking damage in between those hits, you kind of have like this permanent free hit that you can take. There's also like
the Darmanitan shield in Breath of the Wild.
Like the, yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously you got sword, shield, and bazooka, I presume is the next one you're going to say.
There's a gun. There's a little projectile shooter. Okay. It like charges up behind you, and the more you let it charge up, the more powerful a blast it'll shoot for you.
Oh, like in Mega Man. I'm helping less.
I appreciate it.
There is this,
right,
this snake boss. As in, like, Mega Man X. Like, any sort of, like...
What?
Side scroll.
Snake boss. You shoot snakes?
Yes, of course. Maybe it was X2.
I plan on playing through those, too.
Not a mini boss, but, like, not a robot master, but a mini boss. It was Mega Man X or Mega Man X2. I don't remember which one. I just remember me and Ryan were playing the game, and we were trading back and forth. We weren't having much luck with the snake. And you were like, give me this. And you took it away. Like, the one time you volunteered to play a game.
Yeah.
And then you just beat him in one try.
Was it the one in the water?
Yeah.
That thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like all of these like side-scrolling action games always have a snake boss. Like they're in every single one of them.
Or a big spider.
There's probably going to be a spider too.
There's a big spider in X.
A lot of the bosses I've come across so far, like they have pretty simple patterns where they'll do like two or three different things and you just need to know where to stand in order to avoid damage. The snake for some reason was getting the better of me for a while. It took me probably 8 or 9 tries to finally get through that thing. Well, quite a few of the bosses are actually stationary. Like the final boss of a Metroid game, where all you have to do is like...
Can you please like stay focused? Like, so many comparisons.
I'm trying. Come on, John. This game is a little bit Metroid. It's Ninja Gaiden. It's The Messenger. It's Mega Man.
Is this the same snake right here? I'm sorry for the listener. They can't see. Is that the same snake you're talking about?
Yeah, it's a big robot snake.
It's got brain body.
It's got turtle legs.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
So it's kind of like that same thing. So it's almost like...
Contra 3.
Contra 3. Alien Wars.
It's a little bit Contra 3.
Out now on your Nintendo Switch.
What have I done?
But yeah, I'm liking this game. So far, I can give it a recommend. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And hey, the games, all of the games you compared it to are good games.
Sure.
So I would only think this is a good game.
Yeah, exactly. It's got everything.
Yeah. Devil May Cry 3.
Does it have bouncing pixelated boots?
Not yet. Give it time, though.
Yeah.
We'll all get there. So, that's it for the new releases. Let's talk about some games coming out in February. There's quite a few here. February is going to be a busy month. Like, we're hitting the busy point.
Yeah.
That we've kind of been waiting
for. Some things actually look really good.
So, yeah, up first, February, on the 4th, coming in hot, Blue Fire.
I don't know if I'm getting this at launch, but, I mean, I gotta get it at some point. It looks really good.
I'm probably gonna pick this one up as well. I don't know if I'll get it immediately, but maybe after I finish off Cyber Shadow, if I'm able to get through that game pretty quickly, then maybe that'll be next up on the list.
Yeah, this game looks fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited for this one.
We did... compare it briefly to iNinja.
Yeah, but I think it's a more... It's not as fun as iNinja.
We don't know that yet. We haven't played it yet.
iNinja is just an angry little guy.
Do you mean it's not as silly?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could probably get on board with that.
That's what I meant by that. Yeah. I mean, silly, not... doesn't take it that seriously. Itself seriously. Where's our iNinja remake, by the way? Like, why did we not get on another one?
I wonder who made that game. I think Namco published it. I don't know who developed.
I need... iNinja again. That game's such a gem.
Except for that part where you have to like fight in the robot but not take any damage.
Yeah, that was annoying. The eggshell challenge.
Mm. That was the last one I needed to get to 100% the game.
Yeah. That one was tough.
Yeah. I did it though.
We should talk about Blue Fire.
Okay.
It looks like iNinja.
it does. Like it's kind of like the same sort of acrobatic platforming with like wall runs and stuff. It doesn't have like a super grounded geography or like terrain to it. It kind of has like that sort of bombastic style.
I always get nervous with games about the, like, the overall quality of the game when they have levels where it's pretty much just platforms and then the abyss of nothing around it. Like, can't you make a background? Like,
I mean,
because there was quite a few of that in the trailer that I saw. It was just pretty much you only had the one spot to go because everything else was nothingness. So,
I suppose I could understand, like, maybe put some more production value to it. But, you know, he's got a thing that, like, it's all window dressing at that point.
Yeah,
like sometimes there is kind of a grandeur to infinite space.
Hmm.
You know, like. Think of, like, I mean, I know this is a weird comparison, but I know there's a painter, Bo Bartlett, that always has these horizon lines. He's a stickler for horizon lines, and he likes to put a prominent subject forward, but he always keeps this usually about two thirds from the bottom of the painting, and it's there, and it's always kind of creates this eerie sense to it because there is so much open space. It almost seems like you're capturing them in a desolate wasteland, or just like this one instance on their own. And if you look really closely, you'll oftentimes see these little smoke trails, just the tiniest little smoke trails off in the distance. And it just sort of leaves you to wonder, like, what horror awaits you all the way over there?
You immediately go to horror.
Not someone's making s'mores.
Alarming or concerning thing. I mean, well, usually the subjects that you see painted have the veneer of banality, but there's usually something sinister in them. There's something maybe a little dark or twisted about it that doesn't come through at first glance. And this is a visual medium. It probably isn't good to talk about on a podcast where you can't, like, show you pictures and stuff. But, I think that I actually kind of am going to disagree entirely. I love it when games use infinite space. That's kind of this idea that, like, you know, this goes on forever. And I understand that it sometimes means that it means the game might be cheaply made.
Yeah.
That they didn't render anything beyond that. But it can be used well.
It can be. I don't know. I still think the game looks good. I'm interested in it.
From what I've seen of the gameplay, though, if I'm flying around and I'm beating the shit out of things like this game makes me think I'm going to do, I'm pretty excited. This game looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Cool. Little Nightmares 2 is out on the 11th.
That's got to be a day one buy for you.
Oh, yes.
That's going to be good.
Yeah, I'm real pumped for that. There was a demo, a real brief demo, only about, like, maybe 20 minutes of the initial, like, first part of the game. And it's... yeah, they nailed it. It's exactly like what I really liked about Little Nightmares. Has a really eerie, like, horrifying tone to it.
It sucks about that one top-down shooter level.
But they followed up with a match 3 puzzle. So.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's a lot of environmental sort of logic puzzles to it. Like, think of... God, this is going to be the show where we compare everything to everything else.
Pretty much. I can't wait.
Like Eco. Where the goal of the game is just to kind of get through the terrain and finding the things you need to interact with in order to do so.
It's like a Mega Man game. Not Mega Man. It's like a Mario game. You're just trying to get from the left side of the screen to the right.
Far less platforming, though. Like, this is more kind of like a walking.
I was going to say, like, Inside.
Yeah.
Like Inside, where it's a lot of, you know, kind of like lateral puzzle solving kind of thing.
Yeah, precisely.
While oftentimes avoiding very, very treacherous, scary things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of danger that you have to work your way around, kind of move stealthily through a lot of areas and Little Nightmares in order to keep from getting caught. But then they also contrasted that with these very panic-induced moments where you are being chased and you have to find, like, the route that you need to go in order to avoid being captured. And the demo,
they really got you in those moments too, because it's just like, oh, fuck this, man. And then you're just totally like, all of this strategy where you're just, like, sitting there calmly thinking about how you're gonna navigate this obstacle is just thrown out the window because a fucking dog is chasing you.
In Little Nightmares 2, the demo ends with a section where you sneak by this hunter who's skinning some sort of animal or something in his workshop. You sneak behind him and you, like, push your way through a door. And he notices you, and then you have to, like, run into some tall grass. He loses track of you, and he's, like, looking around with his flashlight. So you have to sneak around, avoiding the beam of his flashlight. But then you get to a point where you run out of tall grass, and you can see on the other side of the screen a little hole that you can slide down into.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to get in this path. And Mika, is horrified of these games, but for some reason she likes to watch them anyway. So she's sitting on the couch with me. We had the lights on. I'm not a monster. And he's standing there with his gun, shooting the flashlight around. We're out of tall grass to move in. And I pause for a second, and I look over, Mika, the stakes have never been higher. And we fucking bolt. We bolt for that hole. And we slide in. And we barely make it out alive. And then you get the splash screen for Little Nightmares 2.
She's six. She just looks at you and goes, what the fuck are you talking about?
She's seven.
Seven, my bad.
Stakes have never been higher.
Because he had a gun. You didn't have to deal with any sort of firearms in Little Nightmares 1.
Yeah, I think that is kind of the big shock of the first insight is that if, you know, the first thing that happens is like, so some adult just guns down a child.
Yeah, it's horrifying.
Pulls out a gun and just pops a few bullets right in his back.
Yeah, and I think that's
dark.
The first way you can die maybe in that game.
Yeah.
But it really like lets you know like, hey, guess what? This is how we're going to treat you in this game.
Yeah. I love the art style of Little Nightmares because it is gross, but it's good looking gross. Like they made it feel very nasty and dirty and grotesque.
Yeah, but you can't look away from it because like there's so much detail to it.
Mm-hmm. Really excited for this game.
Me too. Super Mario World plus Bowser's Fury is coming out on Valentine's Day, on the 14th.
In case you were.
Yeah,
I don't care.
I do.
This is weird that I just don't care about Mario games.
Tanuki suit.
It's fine. You're allowed to like different things. It's okay.
You get to wear a Tanuki suit like in that game Mario.
That was a selling point. That, come on. I mean, what do you think I sleep in every night?
I'm a little jealous. That sounds pretty awesome.
The tail gets in the way, though. It's really irritating.
So I'm probably going to grab this one because the girls really like Cat Mario. They had a good time with the Wii U version. Though the Wii U gamepad is on the fritz, Ripley broke another charger. So I guess I could buy another charger, but it's just...
You could probably buy another Wii U for the same price.
Yeah, maybe. But at this point, I'm ready to retire the Wii U, and they really like the game, so I'm probably going to get it so they can play it again. And, you know, I only ever had two controllers for the Wii U. On this, I got three, so we can all play together, and that'll be fun. And Bowser's Fury looks really cool. You guys watch the trailer for...
No.
Yeah, I watched the trailer.
Yeah, so I like the idea of having like this big level. The Bowser's Fury, that sort of portion of the game, I don't know if it's sequestered off or part of the main game, but it looks a lot like a Mario Odyssey type of stage, where it's just this open area, and you go and you find your little objectives as you work your way through. And it is interesting that it's an add-on for this and not a sort of like different DLC piece for Mario Odyssey. Like maybe it's because they wanted to use the cat suit again. I don't know why they couldn't have just put the cat suit in a different area of Mario Odyssey. But either way, neither here nor there.
Bowser looks genuinely scary, by the way.
Oh yeah, like
scary motherfucker.
Yeah, something's gone down with that guy because now his kid is helping Mario take him down.
Ooh,
yeah,
that's fucked up.
So Bowser Jr. Like it's gotten so bad that Bowser Jr. is like, okay, we got to do something about this guy.
Yeah,
he's killed way too many Toadstools. Mm-hmm. We just can't.
They fucking murdered Ludwig right in front of me.
So, yeah, as you're playing through the game, like collecting all of your little tchotchkes, I think they call them cat shines, or little cat icons throughout the game.
God, that's dumb.
What you end up doing is, as you collect them, I guess there's some sort of timer or cooldown where Bowser will just lose his shit and start just shooting fireballs at you. So you have to avoid him until he runs out of energy, and then you go back to collecting stuff. And as soon as you collected enough of these little cat emblems, it opens up this gigantic cat suit thing that you can put on and then fight Bowser with it.
That's weird.
It is weird. I like it.
All right.
I think it's going to be cool.
Giant Mario looks like fun, too.
Yep. Giant cat Mario.
Yeah.
It's going to be a hoot. Kind of like this lion's mane.
It's like Pokemon when they Dynamax.
Yeah, it's like that SNES game, Lion King.
Persona 5 Strikers is out on Switch on the 22nd.
Yeah, that's just soccer game, right?
I was just about to make that joke. Ah! You beat me to it!
I get to be wrong about this one. It is not a soccer game.
No, it's an action game, like the Dynasty Warriors or Hyrule Warriors games.
But you had that, like, in the fucking holster. You were ready. Like, you were sitting there just like, come on.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Boom! Soccer game!
KO!
I don't know. I will not be getting this one. I'm not really all that interested in it.
Where is our Mario Strikers remake?
Why would you want a remake? Why not just a new game at this point?
I know.
Well, then now they've acquired the studio that makes those games.
Oh, here we
go. Didn't they make an Olympics? Do they already make an Olympics game?
Yeah, Mario and Sonic, the Olympics.
Yeah, Sega makes those games.
Wasn't there a soccer game in there?
I'm not sure.
Probably. Who cares?
Not me.
You think the Olympics are going to happen this year? Are they going to try to push through this?
So there's actually something about that, which is I think Japan is probably going to cancel it. I think 85% of the Japanese population have said they don't want to host it anymore.
Mm. Like ever again?
Well, I mean, well, certainly during the time of COVID. And I think it was one of the U.S. cities was like, we'll host it. We'll do it.
New York. It, like, we're already riddled with COVID. We might as well do this shit.
I forget where it was, though. I forgot what place was lobbying that they might want to do it. But I don't know. I think they should just cancel the Olympics or move it a year or something.
Like, we just I think can't cancel forever?
We can all see the end in sight. Why don't we just move it to next year?
Mm.
You know? If anything, it feels weird that we have to wait 4 years to see these people do things. Like,
I think we only have like the attention span to pay attention to track and field every 2 years. Like, we can't look, we can't watch track and field every year. We don't give a shit.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Part of the attraction of a lot of these sports is like, this is their one chance. Yeah. Because after this, they're going to be 28 and way too fucking old to do this.
Oh, God.
Because, you know, Persona 5 Strikers, I like Persona 5. I'm playing through that one on the old PS4 bit by bit. No interest in Strikers. I don't care. Taxi Chaos. You guys, Taxi Chaos? Huh?
How about it?
I haven't watched the video of it. Is it Crazy Taxi?
Yeah, I put this one as a joke. It's just Crazy Taxi.
It's just Crazy Taxi.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
And I took shots at Crazy Taxi. I was expecting you guys to fight me more, but apparently you guys care as much about Crazy Taxi as I do.
I mean, it's one of those games where it's fun for, like, the first two fairs, and then after that you're like, all right, what else can we play?
You realize, what else do I have in my Dreamcast?
I know. Yeah, except this one, they're, like, flying through the air and jumping on buildings and shit.
You did that in Crazy Taxi as well.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
All right, that's how much I remember that game.
I mean, again, this is one of those things where it's like, yes, I know it by name, but I don't care about it. I don't have anything really invested in it. I
mean, no.
That's cool.
How about Ghosts and Goblins Resurrection on the 25th?
I don't know what
anyone invested?
The YouTube comments were hilarious.
Oh, yeah?
Because they're all equally pumped for it and commenting on how mean the game is.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, how there's not going to be a single upgrade. There will not be a single upgrade to your character. There will not be a health expansion. It will just be mean, and you will die. Like, so.
Pick your path, choose your challenge.
My immediate reaction was, this art style looks bad. And then I looked closer at what they're doing, and I'm like, this art style looks amazing.
Yeah.
Because they're doing a lot of this, like, almost, what would you say, like Paper Mario looking thing. The closer you look, you realize it's just like a super detailed Paper Mario.
Yeah, it's not like a super fluid animation, I guess, for lack of a better word. It's very intentionally, like,
Pop-up book or something? I'm trying to find the right comparison.
Yeah, like, when the arm moves, it's like a kind of like an action figure where the whole arm moves, or you're not getting like these very, like, true-to-life sort of movements.
No, it looks like that random thing in Monty Python and the Holy Grail when they do those brief little
sure,
like cutscene things.
They're sort of illuminated manuscripts.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyone going to give this game a shot when it comes out? I'm not really.
It does look good, though.
Yeah? You going to get it?
Probably not.
You gonna buy it? Come on.
Probably not.
You got enough time to beat Blue Fire before it comes out.
Dude, I have so many games. I am so behind on
buy
games.
Buy more.
I'm
acquire. Like, just get stuff. Just get stuff.
I almost bought Resident Evil 3 the other day, but...
The remake?
Yeah, because it was on sale at work.
Yeah.
And we had one copy left, and I was going to buy it, but someone grabbed it before my shift was up. But I was going to buy it for you. I was like, here, you can play this, then I can play it.
I would have played it. It would have been great.
I know you would have played it. But at the same time, I was like... I have like 5 games I bought recently that I haven't even turned on yet. Like, what the fuck am I doing?
Hmm.
I just bought fucking Scribblenauts for $10 on a whim. I haven't turned that on yet.
Why would you?
It's Scribblenauts. Come on, man. I enjoy Scribblenauts.
I think you're making my point for me.
I like Scribblenauts.
I actually bought a couple of games that we'll talk about right now, but like would be good content for later on. But I got one called Paradise Killer, which looks like a lot of fun.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's like a story murder mystery game.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like fun. And I got one called Fuser, which is really, really fun. It's a music game.
Yeah, a rhythm game, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was about to ask you something.
I fucking Kingdom Hearts 3 on a whim again.
So,
were you looking to close up the chatter on Ghosts and Goblins?
Not yet. I was going to ask Wes something.
Right,
when you're not at work, like, what's your primary form of entertainment? Like,
World of Warcraft.
Do you, Okay, we're canceling that subscription. We're having
abundance of World of Warcraft.
We need to find his guild, and they just say that Wes can't join because he's a pedophile.
So that way, already know that. Even if you do,
like that's what your group is called. Like,
we're just the pedophiles. I don't.
I thought it meant that you guys just like to walk a lot.
Yeah, it's just an abundance of World of Warcraft. I'm sad about it too because I'm enjoying it. Like, I'm not sad while I'm playing the game, but then I like get off the game and it's like 12 o'clock and I'm like, fuck, I wanted to play some Cyberpunk today. I didn't get to that. Like, fuck, I have Mega Man. I wanted to play more Mega Man. I can't get to that. Like,
did they fix Cyberpunk yet?
Yeah,
I'm joking. It's never gonna be fixed. No,
they fix some basic things, and then I saw a post about their newest one. Broke the game.
Cool.
Their newest patch broke the game.
I don't mean to pick on that game in particular. All of these games do that. All of the games of that ilk. Like, this is kind of like they release a broken game. They try to fix it. Something that they do to try to fix it breaks it further. And then 2 years later, it'll be ready for release.
Well, I know there's a lot. I know there's a lot that goes.
Symphony of the Night? Just...
No, Bloodstained.
Bloodstained.
Ritual of the Night.
Ritual of the Night. That was close.
That took about a year.
Somebody posted a side-by-side video where they were like, here's what happens if you jump off of a building in GTA 5. GTA 5 having come out like 6 or 7 years ago at this point. It's been out for a long time.
I think it might have been more than that, but yeah.
Yeah, right? It's someone jumping off of a tall building and like, you know, you can see him jump and then the arms start flailing and he's like, bah, whatever. And then there's like this distinct animation of how the body hits the ground and dies brutally. And they're like, okay, now let's do the same thing in Cyberpunk 2077, and it's like you just threw a Ken doll off of a building and it just falls like this, like totally standing like in the most rigid way possible, and then hits the ground and just goes into the clunkiest animation of someone dying from hitting the ground.
God.
And it was just
it breaks apart like Legos.
I mean, it's just side by side, it's so funny because it's like this game is so much older and yet they could at least get that animation down. And you know, Cyberpunk 2020, it's so grand in scope, there's a lot happening. And maybe they didn't care that much about that.
Yeah, see, but I think it's not a problem that's exclusive to that game. It's kind of where we're at with like high production value games. This is like a sort of AAA sort of games where it's just bigger scope, more production value, make everything bigger rather than let's refine the thing. Like, let's like actually make a functioning open world that doesn't have all like the weird glitches to it and all like the non-existent animations. Let's make a refined video game, and then once we get that, then let's make something bigger. Now this arms race to make the biggest thing.
And you can see a little glitch like that every once in a while, and it doesn't break the immersion. But when you're constantly seeing it happen all the time around you, it sure does.
Yeah,
you know, it's like death by a thousand cuts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The brief bit I played of it, I enjoyed it. So.
Well, yeah, we're over here talking like we know everything about this game, and Wes is like the one that's actually played it and can really comment on it.
We're knives out, ready to take this game down. Like, how dare you exist?
Yes, Caesar. Find the floor. Here's my blade.
So, Ghosts and Goblins Resurrected. Anything before we close the book on it?
I'm not interested in buying it.
Okay.
But, I don't know, it's cool. I think it looks interesting. I don't know, maybe it's the sort of thing if there's a discount.
2 years on the road, if it's super cheap, then why not?
What do you think, Sherlock?
Sounds like it will be brutally difficult, too.
It does look tough. It does look really tough, which the original one was tough. That was the point of the game.
Yep.
Must be fun, quirky, and brutal.
Bravely Default 2?
John, you're the only one who cares about this. You keep bringing it up, and Ryan and I take naps while you do it.
I don't know.
Your heads are so big, though.
There's such big heads. There's a job system. You can have a job, and you can, like, trade.
I don't like my job now.
Well, get a different one.
Yeah.
I'm uneducated, John. I can't get a good job.
Okay, that's fair.
Kind of jobs can you get in this world? Like an actuary?
A notary?
Yeah, right? Maybe
a civil servant?
Yeah, right?
John wants to be the cartographer.
Yeah. That'd be an amazing job. That'd be so good.
They need to do, like, obscure jobs in RPGs. Like, they just don't do it. They're just like, all right, this is your warrior, this is your thief, this is your mage.
I think,
Like, give me the fucking cartographer, and let's do something weird here.
Bravely Default does, as a series, get, you know, sometimes a little bit weird with the jobs. Like, you can be, there's a white mage, but there's also, like, a cleric and a bishop, and they function a little bit differently. Dragoons are in there, which is something that's, you know, pretty prevalent in Final Fantasy games. They're, like alchemists.
There you go.
Everything you've just described is in Final Fantasy Tactics.
Final Fantasy Tactics really nailed it with the job system, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, that's all there, man.
What does the alchemist do in Tactics?
I believe they dealt a lot with, like, earth elemental magic. So things like actual earth attacks. I remember them doing poison attacks, I want to say. Wind damage, I feel like, was part of the alchemist tree.
And in Bravely Default, what does the alchemist do?
I don't remember.
You suck.
Conjurer, yeah, Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Give me just weird job classes. Like, I'm sick of the,
like, a trickster, the or gadget
bland shit that we always get. I mean, Octopath got a couple of interesting ones with the merchant and the scholar.
Yeah, merchant was in scholar. Yeah, those got some pretty creative
pizza
ones
delivery boy, chicken tosser.
And there's a merchant and a monk in Bravely Default, as well as a ninja performer. That's a buffing class. Pirate, ranger, red mage.
Ranger and red mage are also in
spirit master, summoner, sword master, templar. Now I'm just reading all the list. Thief. So there's
thief
a lot of,
is yeah, of course thief is everything.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm pumped for this game. I like the...
Where's the illusionist?
Where's the rapist?
I don't know. Yeah. I believe it's the rapierist.
The rapierist?
The fencer?
Oh, sorry. Sarah.
There is a fencer. The fencers are the lady ones.
And Tactics?
Yeah. Hmm. Or the I don't know. Maybe they were all super effeminate.
The rapierist?
They were fencers, yeah.
Yeah, I like
Vela. Vela, that's what they were called. Or the, like, V-I... What? The race, because there was, like, the five races.
Oh, okay.
It was the ones that look like kind of like cat ladies, almost.
Oh, the bunny ladies.
That's
the
bunny weirdest.
Ladies. Yeah, yeah. In Tactics Advance.
Yeah.
I thought we've only been talking about Tactics Advance. What are you talking about?
And that was like one other white person in Final Fantasy, what was it, 13?
12.
12. That was the one only non, which was a white bunny person.
Yeah. Didn't you say there were Bunga in this, too?
In what?
In this Bravely Default game, you said there were, like, reptilian race characters?
No. That was in Final Fantasy XII.
Oh.
I was, when we rail against Final Fantasy XII, the point we always bring up is, like, you have this, like, really dynamic world with all these lizard people and rabbit people and, like, hippo people and people from all different, like, all different types and shapes of people. And your party of six is five white humans and a bunny lady.
Yeah.
Like, you have this, like, incredible diversity to the world. And, like, here's three white dudes.
Have you ever tried working with these people? Fucking assholes.
I feel kind of bad for our listeners to this podcast, because how are they going to keep track of what the fuck we're talking about? Really, I've gone off of it. This is 1,000% my fault. I'll take full blame of this.
It is.
Well, good. We intend to. There's usually an addendum to every episode where we just blame you for everything.
Yeah, essentially.
But I like the battle system in Bravely Default. It's sort of like the way you have to gamble your turns. Like, if you take more turns than you can afford, you kind of put yourself into a hole if you fail.
Yeah, just like GameStop stuff.
Yeah, there's a risk reward. There's a risk reward to the way you have to play the game. I think it's really cool. But finally, last game for February, Capcom Arcade Stadium. That one doesn't have a specific date in February yet. It's just sometime in February. Capcom's going to release that platform to buy their old arcade
games. One at a time, all 29 days over the course of 28. Well, nice, it'll be 28 days.
That'd be kind of fun. Like,
no, it wouldn't.
Today is this game. Everyone go buy it.
It's like an advent calendar in the middle of January. I don't...
I think it'd be a funny idea. I think it'd be kind of cool. I wouldn't buy any of them. I don't care about them, but...
Yeah. Do you think the Seventh Day Adventists have a calendar in which they predict the end of everything?
I mean, maybe.
I'm just imagining what it would look like. Oh well.
So, hey, anyone? Ryan, you expressed a little bit of interest in
a couple of games on here. I'm pretty pumped for Bionic Commando. It's going to be for
Taxi
real.
Taxi Chaos
and Legendary Wings, and yeah, the original 8-bit version of Taxi Chaos. Thanks, Wes. No, but yeah, Legendary Wings, really fun game. I remember loving that game. I actually still have, like, a cartridge of it. And yeah, Bionic Commando is the shit. I'm so pumped to get to play this. I think I was telling you guys, it's sort of like you took a Contra style shooter like we enjoy, but then also added Spider-Man elements to it. I remember it being very, very difficult, but that is like 8-year-old me talking. So I'm really excited as an adult to play this game to see if I'm gonna be a little better at it.
Tell 8-year-old you to stay away from Wes.
Yeah, for real.
He's part of this guild.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like modern day Wes, not 8-year-old Wes, although he was also a little asshole.
So yeah. But hopefully
Thanks, John. All
those games that you're interested in come out in one package, so you're gonna have to buy these things
Yeah, piecemeal. I wonder what I still haven't seen what the price point or how they're whole gonna work this whole thing out.
I don't think they've announced the different packages or the price point of either, any of them, because I think they're like doing three different waves. But
I really hope it's something obscure, like they have like five different packages and everything with all these games, and it all adds up to like $20.
They just but it's not all like they're not all $4, which would add up to 20. But like five different packages, one's like $1.99, another one is $8.99.
Like, it just doesn't make any goddamn sense. Or you can just give them $20 and get them all. Like, who cares? Like,
get weird with this Capcom. I want you to get weird.
Well, of all the ones I saw listed, the ones that I'm most excited for, I don't feel like are the biggest draws. And also, there's like four different Street Fighter games.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Street Fighter content if you're into that. And yeah. I probably would just want World Warriors.
Yeah, Capcom likes to re-release like Street Fighters like and anything like before 3. As like all like a package, they did a Street Fighter collection on Switch. I think like in the launch year, when it was just like three different versions of Street Fighter 2.
I saw that on sale recently.
Hmm.
Although the one that really, if you're ever going to get any of these anniversary collections, I think it is like the 25th anniversary collection, is the one that does the in-game crossovers. So you can pick the version of the game you're playing and then play against another from a different version.
Hmm, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I remember loving the shit out of that. I think I had it on a PlayStation 2. But yeah, that's a bad console. No one should own a PlayStation under any circumstances. It's a Nintendo all the way.
Yep. Never need anything else.
Yep.
So that's going to bring this show to a close. Next up is going to be the Pokemon show. What do you guys want to do?
I don't know. We're kind of... I feel like we're beating like a horse over the head, like a live horse, because it's still, you know.
Yeah, we're not monsters. Like we're going to beat a dead horse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like so we're going to be. I just feel like we're kind of just milking Pokemon as much as we can. But I mean, what else would
we do? They need to release a new game, and then
Diamond Pearl. We just
Oh, well, that's definitely happening. That's gospel.
Yeah. Next. I mean,
is it possible to rearrange it such that we'll know what's going on in the world of Pokemon in February?
Here's like, what I say.
Are they going to make a big Pokemon announcement no matter what is happening?
We don't know.
This is what I say. I say we delay the Poke Show until we know if they're doing a Pokemon announcement. Because they can Poke Show for that.
With our history, it's like we're going to record it on the 7th, and then the 8th they're going to drop the Direct.
All right, so why don't we do this? Why don't we do a mini show next? Because we haven't really done a mini show in a while where we just talk about what we're playing.
Okay.
And then if
we try to play a different game.
You need to come with something that's not World of Warcraft.
So my pedophiles and I were playing, doing the raid.
Wes. It's sad that you bought into the joke. Come on.
So,
it's like, yeah, I know who they are. I know these people.
If you do the kind of shit they talk about while we're playing, while we're like going between bosses. God. Damn, they're a fucked up group.
So, why do you play with them? Stop it.
I mean, they're funny.
Okay.
So, it's fucked up, but it's funny.
If we don't get a Pokemon announcement after do the mini show, then maybe we just do the retro show after that and kind of put off the Pokemon show. But, you know, if we get more than halfway through February and we still haven't got an announcement yet, then we'll
come. Probably, yeah, we'll just do something on Pokemans.
Yeah, we'll come. And then, of course, the day after.
Pokemans. Gotta catch them. So, yeah, while I was talking to Ryan... Oh. Before, we could always do this. I saw this on YouTube, so we could totally steal their idea. But essentially, it was a challenge where they went to the Isle of Armor. They both had a Gallade and at the same level, and they had 30 minutes to catch a team. They could catch as many Pokemon they want, but they had to make a team out of what they caught in that 30-minute time frame. The Gallade only could use Full Swipe once, and they had 100 Ultra Balls. So those were the restrictions.
Hmm.
And so whatever they caught, they had to make a team out of that, and then they fought.
That's interesting.
It was a really interesting concept, and I liked that. That seemed really...
So everyone's going to go to the tree and get the Gigantamaxed? Greedent.
Well, that's the thing. You only have 30 minutes, and how long does a Gigantamax battle take?
Yeah.
So do you really want to burn 5 minutes doing a Gigantamax fight? I mean,
it could be your one Pokemon. Like, yeah. Try to like fight a team of six with one.
At the same time, you catch a Gigantamax Pokemon, it's not that much better than just some random dude that you'll find. So, I mean, you can't just avoid the dens.
Just get six of the Bariskutas.
So, yeah, next up we'll do mini shows, kind of do whatever we've been playing. Retro show, and we'll see where we're at with Pokemon. If we maybe do a pick six like that, or you know,
yeah,
we'll figure it out. Maybe they'll have
to do some kind of goofy thing, or
yeah,
we'll come up with something.
We'll talk some Pokemons at some point, yeah. But that's it, that's the end. Peace out, Cub Scout.
So, no, so, damn it,
later.